A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So you will, as usual, commence our class. Today is the 3rd December 2024, Tuesday class. So we'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Okay, as usual, we will gather and we can have our physical puja. Huh? Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya. Then mindfully we shall commence our puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa.Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Pu Sien Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Sang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava.Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho.Sanghang Namami. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhasaNamo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami.Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami.Musawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhyami. Then we are continuing our chanting from Padipa Puja onward. Ganna Sarappa Ditena.Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena Do pe na hang sugang hina, puja ye puja niyang tang, puja bajana mutamang, vanna ganda guno pe tang, etang kusuma santatin, puja yami munindas, siri pada sarorohe. Pujemi bedang sumenanena punnena matena ce hotu mokkang ilayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante Bojana parika pitang anu kampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant our puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Triple J. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. So remember the four support. Yeah? First support is just to relax entirely body and mind. When you are at ease and relaxed, you got nothing to do. So don't try to do or don't try to know. Because the doing and the knowing is always by the thought that verbalize. Yeah. So the chattering mind and the verbalization come from the thought process. So when you are completely relaxed and silent without thought, that is sati, awareness. So the second support is after you relax, you just maintain awareness. Whatever arises within your six sendor, just the awareness aware, finish. Do not let it continue to create perception, thinking, and stirring of the mind. Just maintain awareness. Then continue to develop this practice of relaxing and maintaining awareness until the third support, which is stabilizing the inner awareness, develop. So when you can stabilize the inner awareness, it means you have developed the progress, means your mind is now trained. It is in the state of sati, means your mind has finally realized your true mind, which is sati. Then when your sati stabilizes, you are always aware within. Yeah. So these first three support you can do it well, your sati will stabilize, leading to your ability to be heedful. To be heedful, you need to stabilize the sati to be ever mindful. After you are ever mindful, use it to observe, to silently observe what is. Observe what is going on within your own form and mind, to develop the clear understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How through your senses you come to know the world. How through your senses you can interact with the world. And through this silent observation of what is the reality, you develop wisdom, understanding. Then the fourth support is after you have stabilized your inner awareness, you can silence everything and let the mind stay at the heart area. Just relax, maintain awareness, and let it stay there. Then trust your nature, inner nature, to develop the meditative movement on its own. Do not interfere using your thought process. Do not allow your memory, views, opinion, and conditioning to come in and interpret what happens within your own form and mind. All these are your mundane thinking, sankhara activity. So silence everything, maintain awareness, and let the nature detect. So during that time, when you trust your nature, you are at the heart, the awareness will detect whatever vibration or what they call activity that is happening around your heart area. Sometimes you may pick up your heartbeat, the pulse of life, that pulsation. So silence everything and let the awareness be with it. If you can detect any, what they call, vibration or movement or activity around your heart area, then stay with it, silence everything, and let the awareness move as one with the phenomena. And this is how you stabilize your inner awareness. Then when you are able to detect whatever heartbeat or vibration, you just relax, maintain awareness, and stay with the vibration until your mind becomes very quiet, very still and very tranquil. Then that free mind is in the state of sati without thought. That denotes good progress. You can do that means your mind has starts to develop sati. Mind has entered sati. And you are most of the time silent, tranquil, still, without thought, but aware within. Then use it to meditate, to develop wisdom, awakening, insight and understanding. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that you need to stabilize so that throughout the day you are aware, mindful. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalayesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang munirajasa sunantu sakamokkadang Dhamma sabran kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma sabran kalo ayang padanta. Dhamma sabran kalo ayang padanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho. Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddhang bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachyatang veditabhu vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato saukasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato saukkasango Yadidang chatari purisayukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saukkasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You will continue from where we stop. Eh? You might think, I don't believe it. You don't? Do you have afflictions? If you do, it shows that you lack patience and are unable to let go of things. Whether you believe it or not, that's the way it is. Years ago, people in a past life, they may beat you up in this life. If you beat them up in the past life, they may kill you in this life. Is it really so severe, you ask? You should know that if you put money in the bank, it will accrue interest over time. When you scold people, you are harassing them. How could you expect them not to ask for interest? So if you scold someone in the past, you may get beaten up. If you beat someone up in the past, you may get killed this time around. If you kill someone in the past, in a past life, they may end up killing your entire household in this life. This is the law of cause and effect, and it's very harsh. So here, the law of cause and effect means the moral causation, which is karma. The law of karma is moral causation, where it involves the mental intention behind every action, every speech, and every thought process that living beings arise. If the moral intention is negative, has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then it will condition negative action, speech, and thought process that give rise to negative karmic consequences or effect. As I just now, Master Xuanhua is trying to explain the law of cause and effect based on his understanding. But like I explained in our previous Tuesday class, the law of karma or moral causation may not be you harm this person, you kill this person, then this person come back and harm you. No. The law of karma is moral causation means when you commit karmic negativity, means you cause suffering to fellow living beings. Then wherever there is condition for you to become the victim, to suffer the consequence of what you have done to others, can just manifest and happen. And it can be another being, not related at all. Yeah. But sometimes, like I explained earlier on, if it's a specific individual that has very strong hatred or anger towards another being, then that one, because of the hatred, the will, the very strong mental intention, it can condition the karmic repercussion life after life, facing the same what we call entity. I call it the entity because when it comes to karma, every life, each and every one of us take, we call it a segment. So that segment may be a different segment from all your previous one, but they are all related to your karmic nature. So as long as it is from your karmic nature, any of these belong to the same entity. So if that is the case, just like Devadatta, during the early days Bengal incident, where he hated the Bodhisattva so much at that time, because he lost the opportunity to benefit from the Bengal incident, where an old lady with a young daughter or child, they wanted to buy the bangles, then they don't have money. So the old lady, the mother said, never mind, we have a pot. We can trade the pot for the bangles. So it seems the pot was a golden pot, worth a lot. But Devadatta, being greedy, selfish, he refused to, honestly honor that value. Then he tried to deceive them further by saying, no, this pot is of not much use. At the most, I give you a few bangles. So the mother was thinking, how can this pot is worth a lot? Then he told the grandchildren or the children, the child, never mind, we go and walk around. Then he met the Bodhisattva, who happened to be selling bangles too. Then when the Bodhisattva saw the pot, he said, oh, old lady, this is a golden pot. All my bangles is not enough to pay for it. Then being honest, and the old lady said, don't worry, you can have the pot. I only need the bangles. That's how it was exchanged. Then when Devadatta to be in that life came to know, he was so furious and so angry. He went after the Bodhisattva. Then it seems the Bodhisattva has crossed the river. Then through his anger, in very severe mind state of hate, he vowed life after life to come after the Bodhisattva to take revenge and ask back for the golden pot and all those. And because of that, the karmic causation, the moral causation, actually bring them together for so many lives. You know? That's why life after life, even until the Bodhisattva's last birth, 2600 years ago, he was also born the same time, around the era, become the cousin, and also ordained and become the disciple of Sakyamuni. But in that life, the karmic repercussion was severe because of the hatred and the karmic link. He actually, out of jealousy, plot against the Buddha and want to kill him, but not successful, managed to hurt him. But he has to face his karmic, and the karmic was so severe towards the end, he caused schism to the entire Sangha community. Then, because of the karmic, he was swallowed by the earth. It seems the earth opened up. Even at the time when he wanted to ask for forgiveness from the Buddha towards the end, but the earth just opened up and he was swallowed. So the law of karma is such, you reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in Mayana, the Mandarin translation is very good. 种因结果, 种善因结善果, 种恶因结恶果. Then my teacher, which is Master Xuanhua, he always warned the devotee and disciple, is it? 千万不要种错因结错果, So never, never plant the wrong seed and reap the wrong fruit, because the karmic consequence is very severe. That's why the Buddha, under the fifth daily contemplation, he warned living beings. He said, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. If that is the case, you must realize the seriousness of not taking care of karma, not protecting your life. That's why every moment of life, whatever action, speech or thought process that you manifest or you give rise to, you have to have this right view in regards to the law of karma, so that your karmic nature is protected, so that there will be no karmic negativity that can bring about suffering, misery and downfall to the individual. And this is how the teaching started. Right view with regards to law of karma trigger off the understanding. That's why the Buddha, after that, he advised the living being. He said, you must follow the advice of all Samasa Buddha, which is Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranang kusale sa upasan padan sa citta pariyodhapanang etang buddhana sahasana. Sabbe is all, papasa is evil. All evil is to be avoided, akaranang. Then, kusalesa means whatever wholesomeness, if there is condition to arise or manifest, we must do. Yeah. Means kusalesa upasampadan. Then sacitta, purify your mind. Etang buddhana sasana. These are the advice of all Buddha. So if you want to take care of karma, you have to follow the advice of all Samasa Buddha. Means avoiding all evil, means avoiding karmic negativity of action, speech and thought process. Whatever has that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, avoid them. Greed means it includes all your selfishness, your covetousness, your greediness, your selfishness, your what they call negative intent to deceive, to cheat, to take advantage of people. Then through your anger, your hatred, you cause suffering and misery to people. You become violent. So anger, hatred, jealousy, they are very negative mindset. Through jealousy, you can scheme, kill and harm and do all those mischievous things. So these are all the evil roots, roots of all evil. And both greed and hatred, they manifest from ignorance, sakkayadity, self-delusion. Without sakkayadity, there will be no personality to grasp and cling and to hold, to develop the greediness, the selfishness, the craving, the desire. And also, without the personality, you cannot get angry, you cannot get emotional, or develop the fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So this right view brings about understanding for us as devotee of the Buddha to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. So cultivation starts with having this right view with regards to the law of karma. If there is such thing as the moral causation which is karmic, then you have to take care of karma. Once you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Then it protects you from karmic negativity, karmic consequences. And all the karmic repercussion that can spin off and manifest can be stopped once you understand this law of karma and develop the understanding to avoid all evil. Develop goodness that purify your mind to develop wisdom or insight to realize the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. When you penetrate this, you are no longer deceived and deluded. Then the phenomenal world of consciousness and form will have no power over you. You will never be deceived by any of this manifestation through your mind process, which is your mundane thinking, sankhara activity, that condition your heedless thinking, that give rise to all the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, that bring about karmic negativity and suffering to the living being. So this is the gist of it. Huh? Okay, we go back to the sharing. Then I read on. Huh? Then maybe this time around, you all can develop the understanding better. Xuan Hua continued, he said, that is why cultivators should always be watchful over themselves and avoid inconveniencing or troubling others. Being patient means not letting yourself get afflicted. So here we have to understand the law of karma deeper. So here, Xuan Hua say, avoid inconveniencing or troubling others is a good way of understanding the law of karma. If you cause people inconvenience or trouble people, or you try to deceive, cheat, harm, and take advantage of people, so whatever karmic negativity or suffering that you inflict on the world, the environment, the fellow living beings or whatever, then through the law of karma, it will boomerang back and you become the victim. Then you suffer the same consequence, which means you reap what you sow. Whatever you do unto others, it will boomerang back. And wherever there is causes and conditions, it will happen to your form and mind. So this is how it's to be understood. Then not only keeping your precept, causing inconvenience, letting people wait very long, and like without any feeling or love for what happened, means causing a lot of trouble, trying to harm, trying to deceive, cheat, and even keep. All these are karmic negativity. So it's not only when you see the severe selfishness in you, then only there is karma. Even the subtle inability to cause inconvenience to society, to the environment, to people, it triggers karma. Because this is the nature's law, moral causation. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So planting the seed of wholesomeness is very important. We are wisdom. We are understanding without negativity. Okay, with that we move on. Huh? Then vigor means applying diligence, means cultivate sincerely, diligently. In the six periods of the day and night, never slacking off or getting lazy. So that time, I think, under the Chinese culture or our tradition, we divide the day and night, yeah, into six periods. Yeah? Yeah. So they have their what? Every 2 hours, 一个干, six times two is the 12 hour. Mm-hmm. So day and night, they have this. Yeah. Okay, then we read on. Dhyan refers to sitting in meditation, cultivating the skill of samadhi. This was explained at length earlier on. The first five of the paramitas, which is dana, parami, or giving, then sila parami, or upholding of the precepts, then patience is kanti, patient endurance with wisdom, then virya is vigor, then finally is samadhi, or they call it dhyan, are collectively known as the treasury of the blessing, of blessings and virtue. That's why when we cultivate the Bodhisattva way to be a Sammasambuddha, we can do it either via the Theravada's tradition of cultivating the 10 paramitas or perfections, or alternatively the 6 paramita or 6 perfection. Then the last of the paramita after dana, sila, kanti, virya, and dhyan is prajna. So the 6 paramita or prajna is the treasury of prajna wisdom. Various treasures is a metaphor for perfection or paramitas. So when you cultivate these 6 perfection or the 10 paramitas, it will give rise to wisdom and virtue. That's why the enlightened being, especially the great beings, they will have this virtue of blessings and wisdom perfected. And like I always say, without wisdom, there is no true blessing. True blessing arises through wisdom. When you have wisdom, everything you do is very wholesome. It brings about great blessings. Then there is another part of the sutta that says, fill to overflow. It's also a metaphor. It represents the perfection of both the provisional wisdom, which is represented by overflowing, and the ultimate wisdom, which is represented by feel. Provisional wisdom is full and perfected, as is ultimate wisdom. Now I would like to say more of the topic of patience or kanti. If someone beats you or scolds you, you need to cultivate or practice the contemplation of non-self. However, if you are unable to do it, you may think, I'm right here and I have a body. I have feelings too. How can there be no self? Why can't you let go? There is a wonderful Dhamma here, and I will tell you what it is. If someone hit you, you can just think, oh, woof, I just bumped into a door frame, or I ran smack into the wall, or I wasn't looking where I was going, and I tripped over bricks. If someone kick you, you can just imagine that you tripped over a brick, or that you hit by a piece of wood, and that's why it hurts. If the bricks makes you stumble, you wouldn't punch the brick back. True or not? If you did, your hand would hurt as well as your feet. All this is to say that if you fight back, it's going to hurt more. If you act as if nothing happened, as if you accidentally bumped into the wall, ran into a door frame, or trip on a brick, then the situation won't escalate. So this is Shenhua's way of explaining what patience is. So patience is actually a type of virtue, patient endurance with wisdom. When you have patience, you can be at peace with all things. That's why people who can renounce, they call it renunciation. Yeah. All things will have no suffering. Where they don't cling on to anything, they don't hold on to anything. Yeah. Then they will also realize non-self, empty nature of existence, the universal characteristic, etc. That is the true understanding born of the teaching as taught by Sakyamuni Buddha. So if we cultivate through that understanding, then it's easier for us to develop understanding of life and to live life. No matter what happened in life, like the Buddha said, thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Which means the reality is already set. All the causes and conditions that manifest at that moment will condition the reality, what is. And it cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not nature's condition manifesting, then suffering will arise. So when you understand this, you need to accept what happened, the reality. But it doesn't mean you don't act. You act to resolve issue and think amicably, following Noble Eightfold Path. That is the Dhamma way. And what is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and therefore right effort, followed by the right sati and samadhi. So all this has got no negativity. That's why that is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It can bring about the end of all suffering. That's why if you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you will know how to act. You will know how to live life. You will know how to manifest in accordance. So this teaching is very amazingly unique. And it's based on understanding, which is wisdom, not knowledge. That's why in the Maya teaching, there's a famous saying, is that knowledge by, suo zi zang. Everything that you come to know is through your thought process, which is knowledge based. And all this knowledge binds you. Because when you know too much, you get entangled. What is there to know? All your knowing comes from your thought, which is knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. That's why with knowledge you can argue with people. You can still have conflict, misunderstanding, karmic negativity. That is knowledge. Well, with knowledge, you want to be right. You want to argue with people. You want to manifest that knowledge to impress people. To let people think you are very knowledgeable, that you know a lot, you understand a lot. That's why right and wrong, good and bad, praise and blame the worldly condition, they manifest, even gain and loss. So all this, they manifest from the same delusion. So understanding all this is the Dhamma way. Okay, I read on. It's hard to listen to someone. Sorry, it's hard to listen to someone who scold you, the word missing. But you can't just pretend you don't understand. You can think, oh, he's speaking Japanese or Spanish or German or French. Whatever he say, you can't understand it. Where he isn't speaking your native language. Or else you can think, he is praising me. He's scolding. It's just like a song. He's making music. Think of it from a different perspective. And you will not, you will no longer have any anger or affliction. You get afflicted. You still have karmic obstacle. People without karmic obstacle do not have affliction. Since you have karmic obstacle, you should find ways to eradicate them. There is nothing unbearable in this world if you really know how to cultivate patience. I've often told you about Maitreya Bodhisattva's verse, which no doubt all of you have rejected, thinking it's too silly. Even though you don't want it, I will give it to you once again. Then, you scroll back downward a bit. Okay, I want to explain this. But this is what Xuanhua explained at the sanat. But when it comes to real life situation, you cannot apply like that because it doesn't solve your problem. Understand not? It's just like I say, a newborn baby, he don't have memory, then he got the pure consciousness. Understand not? But why is the baby incapable of direct seeing, awakening? Whereas a living being that has grown up and gone through life with all the conditioning, with all the views, opinion, conditioning, and what they call views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that they carry, and yet they have the mindfulness and the awareness to see things as they are without the memory interfering. And that is genuine wisdom. Understand not? Cultivation is the same. How can you act like you cannot understand? The person's expression is call you, is call you, understand? Not? But you need to develop wisdom to come to terms with this reality. Like I explained to you all. Because the Buddha said, learn to see things as they are. That person is the way they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. Cannot be otherwise. That's why when we have this wisdom to see things as they are, to accept the reality of the world, then we can free our mind. We will not stir, we will not react. Then we don't have to pretend. Then we can laugh, we can smile, and we can patiently develop the silence within. Then we can say, following Noble Eightfold Path, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. Then we can even be in the state of readiness to say, I'm sorry if I caused you any misunderstanding. Then just resolve it amicably and move on. So they are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. And the world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. So once you contemplate and reflect and develop this wisdom until very stable, then you don't have to use any of these skillful means to solve your life problem. Understand now? Yet that wisdom is there to protect you. And that wisdom will not condition you to react and stir your mind. Like I always said, there is no such thing as a problem. Problem only arises when you perceive a life situation with negativity. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. So ability to perceive a life situation to the right understanding, the wholesome understanding, born of wisdom, is very important. Okay, so this part, make a note of it. Eh? Then you know how to apply the real teaching, the real Dhamma. Okay, we go on to listen to Shenhua's explanation of Maitreya Bodhisattva's verse. The old fool wears a tattered robe and fills his belly with plain food. He mends his rag to keep out the cold and just let things take their course. Ah, this word is very beautiful. Just let things take their course. Means what? Let things be. Condition like that, things be like that. Don't interfere, don't react. Means acceptance, free your mind. But after that, you can still act. Doesn't mean you don't act. Then he say, if someone's cold is awful, he just say, sorry or fine. If someone strike this awful, he just lie down to sleep. Spit right in my face, he say, and I will just let it dry. That way I save my strength, and you are spared affliction. This kind of perfection or paramita is the jewel in the wonderful. If you grasp this message, what worry can there be about not becoming awakened? So this so-called Maitreya saying is also full of wisdom and beauty. Where this one worked for him. That's why he liked to apply this. Maitreya Bodhisattva say of himself, I'm a very old and foolish. I'm very old and foolish, wearing a patchwork robe made of many patches stitched together. My food is bland and flavorless. Plain, huh? Should be plain. But it fills my belly just the same. When there are holes in my clothes, I mend them to word of cold. I let the my right things come and go according to condition. And this is wisdom. When someone chases me, I feel that there is no better music. The more I listen, the more I like it. When someone punches me, I lie down on the ground and go to sleep. Isn't this wonderful? That brings about a point, because when I was young, I remember, because in the olden day, you know, our house, a tap house with the zinc shear, say, that time no aircon, nothing. So the weather is usually, especially Malaysia, quite humid and hot. So we look forward to the rain. But a lot of people doesn't like rain, because they see very noisy when it rains. The noise that is created by the zinc sheet and other things. And then later on, when we move to PJ, we see awnings being installed, canopy installed. Then when it rains heavy, there is this howling sound, the wind, the whatever impact of the severe weather condition can create a lot of sound vibration. But for me, I love that sound and I can sleep very well. To me, it's nice vibration, very conducive. And I love those moment, because when it rains, the wind and the environment cools down, and it really very conducive for me. I feel good. Then sometimes I like to play with the rainwater. A lot of very nice things. So it depends on how you perceive a situation. If you complain and don't have the patience to understand the reality, then you suffer. That's why I always share with Kanyamitai that if you don't have Dhamma, wisdom and understanding, what happens is when you go through life, you complain a lot. You worry a lot. Why? Like the saying goes, rain also complain, no rain also complain. Then, whatever arise, they are not never contented. They always complain because there is a lot of delusion, a lot of craving, a lot of desire, wanting things your way. And to them, nothing is correct, nothing is right, nothing is perfect. Everything has its flaw. They got a lot of things to comment. Right or wrong also they want to comment. Then whatever they read in the paper, they also want to comment. How people go about doing things or behave, they also want to comment. So this unending reaction and stirring of mind is the cause of suffering, cause of what we call sensual desire and ill will, or the first two mental hindrance of mind. And this is how it conditions your heedless thinking, because they are mental hindrance. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. That's why you don't have the ability to be at peace with what happened within life, within society, and with the world. So this type of Dhamma understanding must be cultivated and developed for you to have the ability to appreciate life, to live life, to experience all of the pristine wonders and beauties of life. So having this right view leading to all the right understanding, to embrace all conditions and all things, is really wisdom. That's why wisdom free, whereas delusion bind, condition suffering and misery. Without wisdom, without Dhamma, living beings entangle themselves and develop a lot of suffering. Okay, I read on. Then the poem continues. Spit right in my face, he said, and I will just let it dry. Chinese people do this to insult others. If they look down on someone, they will spit in the person's face. He won't wipe it off. He would just let it dry by itself. That way I save my strength and you are spared the affliction. Why? He doesn't even bother to wipe the saliva off his face. The one who spit must think that he is made of clay or wood, because he doesn't respond even when insulted. And so the one who spared will not get upset. That person must be pretty angry to spit at the old fool's face. But if the old fool remains unmoving, nothing happened, it is said. One hand alone cannot clap. As a result of his patience, neither party gets afflicted. So this is Shenhua's way of trying to develop understanding and resolve it. But the best one is still the one I taught you all earlier on. learn to see things as they are, accept the reality, then you don't have to let them do whatever they like. Condition like that, things will be like that. So you can avoid unnecessary misunderstanding and a situation to antagonize people. You might as well do it. Need to say sorry, apologize. You got nothing to lose. You didn't lie, no, even about precept, because you say sorry is because you say, if I have caused any suffering or negativity to you, then I would like to apologize. Yeah. Means what? Sometimes you can even agree what they say. Yeah, you are right. Right according to them, understand not? So they are just the way they are. If they think they are right, it's their views, their opinion. So it doesn't mean you agree with what they say. Yeah. You only develop the understanding to avoid unnecessary argument, misunderstanding, conflict, and misunderstanding that can trigger off unpleasant situation that are very difficult to resolve amicably. So having Noble Eightfold Path with skillful speeches and the right way to act is very important. That's why we must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path factor. Right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. We speak gently, pleasant, gentle, and meaningful speeches that brings about harmony, understanding, joy, happiness, no negativity. That's why the four type of wrong speech avoid. Instead, develop the what they call ennobles, means right, appropriate, gentle, and good speeches. Not only good, pleasant speeches too. And be gentle in your approach. Don't speak harshly. Don't develop sarcasm. To be sarcastic is sarcasm, isn't it? So all this avoid. Speak the truth. Speak something that is conducive for people's give off fearlessness so that they no longer fear. Calm people down. Don't worry. Just let things be. Things will come to pass. Better things will come around if you can endure this and move on. So avoid all the negativity. So all these are skillful, wise speeches and action that can be applied to a situation so that it don't end up the way it is until you have to go through all the unpleasant thing that you apply all this so-called knowledge or skillful approach to try to calm things down. You don't have to wait till the situation is so bad. You can avoid. You can resolve it amicably. Resolve it amicably via the Dhamma way, the way of Opa. Okay, we'll read on. This kind of paramita or perfection is the jewel in the wonderful. This is the paramita of patient Kanti, a treasure among all wonders. If you grasp this message, what worry are there? Can there be about not becoming awakened? So, patient endurance is to be understood through wisdom. When you have patient endurance, means you can accept the reality of the moment, understand? It doesn't mean that you have to yanna means be patient. Whatever people do, be patient. Don't react, don't do it. No, it's not like that. Patient endurance means you must act with wisdom, via understanding. Initially, you accept, yes, nothing wrong with that. But that is the reality. Within that moment, condition reset, things is going to be that way. Then, people are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded. So all this will lead to the reality that can be understood and you can accept them for what they are. So the acceptance is patient. Means when you accept, you don't react, you don't stir, you don't get angry, you don't become emotional, you don't become unhappy over what happened. And that is patient endurance with wisdom. But it doesn't mean you don't act, understand? It doesn't mean you let people do what they like. No. Accepting as they are means accept the reality at the moment. Then develop understanding through the Dhamma way to actually resolve everything amicably. Yeah. And this is how the Dhamma is to be cultivated with wisdom and understanding. And then you have no issue in life, no problem in life. Then you can, towards the end, rejoice and just smile. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Yeah. Then all this understanding, when you contemplate until very stable, it will become like yoniso manasikara. It manifests spontaneously. And you will always smile and have joy. Yeah. Then you will not be like normal people, can be conditioned into suffering, misery, or fear, worry, anxiety. Your mind state are always beautiful, pleasant, yeah, wonderful. And there is no fear, nothing. You can confront anything. So this is a better way to develop the Dhamma understanding. Okay, I read on. Oh, almost time. You can truly practice or cultivate this. How could you fail to accomplish the cultivation leading to Buddhahood? If you cannot, it is because you cannot let go of yourself. Yourself is bigger than the Mount Sumeru, and there is no place to put it because it would not fit anywhere. Wherever you put it, that place would be filled up. You must let go of yourself. When you free yourself, when you are free of self, you will have truly understood the Buddha Dhamma. Those who understand the Buddha Dhamma knows that they must cultivate patience. I think we stop here. Huh? Okay, we mark this page. We stop here. Huh? Now we'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have. Then we'll have our Dhamma discussion. And if you have any good sharing on Dhamma in daily life, you can also share them. Yeah.
Good evening, Radio, and all Kalimitas.
Yes.
Radio, what you talk about today is very important.
Very important,
yes, very important to cultivate in our daily life.
Yeah. That is the real living Dhamma. If you cannot do it in life, then what type of Dhamma is it? Knowledge, theoretical, no use. But what is practical, applicable to life, that is more important. And to enable us to have the wisdom to actually accept the reality of what happened every moment, every instant, under all circumstances. That type of wisdom is very difficult to comprehend and to realize. That's why I share that with you all. Then during the retreat, I explained many, many times. until finally I realized a lot of karmita able to get it. And most of them like what I suggested. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Then they feel very good, no? Otherwise you tell them, why you get angry? Let things be lah. They cannot accept one. The guy did that to me, no? How can I accept him for what he is? Especially the couple or the spouse that actually hurt them. Yeah. So initially when they are courting, oh darling here, darling there, my love, and all that, then when they have misunderstanding, ending up in divorce, oh then the word changed to that bastard. I trusted him, he did that to me. So all this like fly out the window, whatever concept or idea or knowledge that you hold, the ideal state of life that most people look forward to has been shattered. And the moment it's shattered, they don't know how to confront life. They end up getting very angry, hurt. Then that jealousy, the hatred, the deep resentment and unhappiness, they like all of a sudden through delusion manifest from their heart, which was never there. That's why without Dhamma all this can manifest and it can just burst out and hit people so severely. Affliction, conflict, suffering, misery. And how we conduct ourselves with the Dhamma understanding is very important. But this is relationship. Our relationship with our parents, our children, our siblings, with society as a whole, with the environment, with everything that we have relationship with. That is wisdom, Dhamma understanding. Without that, you cannot coexist. You cannot have peace. You cannot have love. You cannot have joy. Well, this is something that Dhamma can only bring about. Without Dhamma, there is no way you can transform, change, and develop the understanding to understand life, to live the pristine beauties and wonders of life. Means able to live life to the fullest, and to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life, then you can appreciate life, truly appreciate, and life take a turn and become so beautiful, so meaningful, so amazingly wonderful. Never before have you had the understanding to perceive life so beautifully. Only through the Dhamma understanding, all this can manifest. That's why the Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, then life become wonderful. 真空妙有. So all these are beautiful. And you can appreciate means you have the understanding. That's why the joy will be there and you know it's important. So sadhu to you, Manyan. You continue here.
Radio. Over the past few weeks, there has been many incidents. And sometimes I cannot really practice it so well.
Don't worry, because you have to start somewhere. But for you, at your stage, you already improve a lot. So much different from the past. Last time, you very bang chang on inside, very easily hurt and unhappy, and you cannot come to terms with a lot of things in life in the early day, I remember. Small things irritate you, and you are most of the time ku guan yin, which Alicia mentioned very often, ku guan yin. Peter God face, Peter God face, means 很苦, and that's bitter God is cool, is sour. bitter, bitter, yeah. The bitter god stands for bitter. Bitter means your face full of bitterness. Correct, Kukwan. Very good. Sadhu.
Maybe I start off with one incident. Then got time to talk about it.
got time. It's still half an hour for you.
Brother dear, have you heard of the bell curve when you evaluate your staff at the end of the year? So, the practice in my department is, if you give high marks to, let's say, 2%, then you must find another 2 to give low marks. Your the bell doesn't skew. It has to be a nice bell curve. So every staff will have a talk with their supervisor. So my turn came. So my supervisor asked me, Manuel, can I give you low marks?
Wow, that's a good one. It's a very good test.
I said, cannot. I work very hard. He said, if I cannot give you low marks, then I cannot give more people high marks. Because they must balance out, right? So I said, cannot. So then he said, let me think about it.
Wow, how come they have such a system? It must be a bell curve one. For me, if I'm subject to that one, I don't follow the rules. But to me, I evaluate based on that person. If he's good, I say he's good. That's all. Finish.
Cannot management say, cannot be all good. There must be
why
someone.
Cannot? Hey.
You have to ring. You ring.
You see, I can give very easy example. Last time my school, we all in the A class, damn good on all. Yeah, Sui also know their class. All very good one. The other classes are all, they stream you or they send you to the A, B, C, D based on your grade one. So they already separate you out on the side. Then for me, if I'm good, I train these people out. Most of them will be good, understand or not? We are trained by me, understand or not? But if I train them also hapasik, then go good, go bad means you give me a random species or random grouping, understand or not? And then maybe some form of similarity of a bell curve may emerge. But it depends, understand or not? Like the good class, they got good students. It's very obvious. And my school, my class, all of them did well in life, in study, academic, everything. It's not that. So, I don't know why society like this type of thing. You know about our education system now, that? Well, I got a shock. They told me this is what is happening to the Ministry of Education. Now their grading system, they got the cemerlang, the A one, of course, high mark. Then they got the don't know what, and not so high mark. Then 50 is like pass. Last time we called pass. He said now 50 is lulus, also pass. But until 20 mark, still memuaskan. Very satisfactory. 20 mark, memuaskan. Below 20 only fail, gagah. You become like that, means what? They say the standard has fallen. They have to keep on lowering the passing mark. Otherwise, not enough student who pass to go up to the higher level. That's why then they think of abolishing standard 6 exam. So everybody, more students go to form 1, form 3. Then they abolish form 3 or so. So, later maybe form 5 also they abolish. Go to university or muscle university, I don't know. Because that's how it has evolved into when you are not serious about education, when you are not serious about having good quality stuff, then you end up mediocre. Means your grading also not based on reality. So, have to ask the staff, hey, you don't mind, I give you low mark. Low grade. Where got such thing? Based on their performance, you evaluate. Understand or not? Cannot in your office.
Cannot, must. They have to be balanced lah.
They got such thing. Who state that rule?
Management said there must be a bell curve.
Wow, like that means something not right already. Because batch to batch different or no? Just like I shared with you earlier, maybe your office one is a good way because you all take in very good student one or graduate one, bright one or understand or high grade one, at least second class upper or what one. So that type of student, most of them will do well one, understand or? Well, your intake is like that.
Sometimes work different from study. They may do well in study, but may not
do in the career field.
But generally, if they are scholar, they are okay.
Generally, if you have good grade, you tend to perform better because your grade in the university, actually for my time, my batch, I can see it. The good one are the good one. The really good one. Their understanding, their IQ, all very different. And we all see things very fast. We can understand things very fast. And we excel and we do well. So, maybe different system, different setup. They like to follow norm, must be a bell curve. So, it depends on your sampling, how you sample. Your sampling is because this they call the bell curve is normal distribution curve. For a normal situation, it is like that. Means out of a lot of sample, then this bell curve is a nature's condition, like mortality rate, life insurance or what. They follow bell curve. Then our engineering material when we test, the bell curve really shaped the thing. Well, whatever manufacturing process you go through, like you produce a concrete pound or you do the steel, high tensile steel and mild steel, then you subject to test. The bulk of it, 70-80% will fall within the mean, they call it the mean. Well, the bell shape is the top part there, the mean is the highest density, understand not? So most of them will fall between the average lifespan, let's say 75, average lifespan of male. Then between 70-85, that volume is very big one. But the bell curve start at the end there, the first 2.5% is a small sample, understand? But there are that die very earlier. Some live very long on, above 100 years old, also the last 2.5%. So if it's a big sample, the bell curve normal distribution is correct. You see that characteristic there. But most of the sample, like I say, is not a complete sample on itself. Like you know in the world, there are certain villages in the world where all the people there live up to 100 over years old, no? Somewhere in the world. Yeah. There's some other places, their sample is so different. Their average lifespan is only maybe 50 or 60. Then last time Malaysia, before we become affluent and have the good hospital and healthcare there, during my father's time, I was told they all, most of them doesn't survive beyond 65 years old. Their average lifespan is about 60 something. Well, that time, death during birth a lot. Then malaria, penicillin don't have, all the medical not there yet. So their average lifespan, now the lifespan longer and longer now. So a lot of the government find it difficult to actually manage the old age. Well, the old age group will suddenly become big proportion of your society. So they call it the middle income trap. Do you know what is that middle income trap? Now, they give birth to less children. You realize, last time, big family. Then later on, they give birth to less. Means, the one that is being born is so much less than the older generation. But the older generation, now their average lifespan is mortality rate is so much higher. So there is a lot of surviving old people. And you end up so little young people working age or those who go and become productive and earn money for the, they have to feed a big portion of their old age population. So this middle income trap is the one that give rise to problem. Now a lot of country is facing it, like Japan also facing it. So they try to, I was told, they try to let young people come in. Even other countries. I was told Japan now, they encourage this young overseas people. Do you all know in Japan, where I was told by my my niece, the children going to Japan, one of them. He said, if you are a Japanese, you pay university fee full. But you are a foreigner, if they accept you, the condition, half price, 50% discount. It's opposite of what the other governments are doing. Because they need young people to go there, and their own people not enough. So there has been such policy been drafted. Then I was told the education there, you can get them to accept you. Your fees is very low. Then there are a lot of sponsor and scholarship or what that is given without bond or no. Free to you. And you finish, no bond, nothing. That's why you say the total cost of education in Japan, but you have to study 1 year, the language, Japanese language. It's very cheap. It's very cheap. So these are the trend that is happening. So, never mind. Because more important is you have to maybe abide by the rules of your structure, your company set up and all those things. Well, that is what society is. But if I were in your shoe, I object one. I don't go by that one. Because to me, it's against my conscience to do that. This is not the right thing. But the sample cannot be you alone evaluating. You want the whole department. So you tell them, maybe some under them are all low mark on. Then for your case, you can give all high mark on. What's wrong with that? Finally, the bell curve is still there. Understand? Not necessary. Every one of you, you cannot have a big sample. Understand? And you cannot say, half must get good grade and half low grade. No such thing.
Mostly average, like Brother Teo said. Just that there is a few that, they
outstanding
want to...
Outstanding one. That one, of course you can. That one very easy. Who are the outstanding one? Cannot be all.
But if you have, let's say, 5, then you have to get another 5 to give over.
No such thing. Most of them is average, like the sample, 80% is there. So most of them will get average. Then 1 or 2, score, good mark. Good grade. Then maybe 1 or 2 happen to be the one low grade one. And like that is more representative. I mean, most of them is average. Which is the case. So don't worry about that. Then what happened actually?
So when I was speaking, we were having the conversation, I take it quite well. I was very calm. There wasn't any confrontation.
That's very good.
When I get from the room, when I think back, the thought, the confidence in me dropped, why he asked me this question? Is there something wrong?
This is your habitual, what they call thinking. So when this one manifests, it's not from your understanding already. From your understanding, you stick to your gut. No. You cannot give me low mark. I'm good. I work very hard for it. That is the sincere word. So during that time, you just speak out of your heart, understand? Then after that, of course, you come out, yo, why my boss asked me like that? Then all this thought, the sankara start already. Means you don't have the stability of what they call confidence in yourself. I am what I am, understand? I'm good. That's it. Finish. You must give me appropriate marks. No need to say good or bad. Appropriate mark. When have I failed you? You can tell the boss. But for me, very easy one. The good one, I know one. And they see me, they also know one. The bad one, they see me, they also know one. We cannot perform one. Then I feel that I know. Give them work also, I'll never get done. Take a long time to come back. But those good ones, they're very happy to finish the work that I asked them to do. And they deliver very fast. It's a thing of finish. Anything else? Can I help you on any other issue or thing? And they're very enthusiastic about doing it for you. Because they like me. They like me. And most of them, I don't know why, they like me.
Because I think it's also difficult on him. He also have to do this
way. That's why different people are different. They approach it differently.
And when it comes to my level, I also have my stuff. And I also tell him that you cannot give my stuff any low marks.
It's like that.
So, you know, he very hard to do
his position. He must have the understanding to overcome all. To me, all this is actually very, very easy to handle on. Nobody is going to fault you for being honest and sincere, understand? If I do all this grading with a motive, then of course there is that insincere part. Then of course you worry. But if you do it according to your conscience and based on your understanding and sincerity, I don't see any issue. Understand? The manager won't want to say anything up to them. But this is how I see it. This is how I grade them according to their performance. You see? And I don't cite anybody. So it depends on the individual. How you approach it depends on your understanding. Actually, understanding is very important. If you have the understanding, no need to worry about all this. Even if they call you up or so, you go and just tell them exactly how you do it. Like last time when I joined the corporate company, I went to my last listed company. They're very scared of the MD, you know. Because his favorite song is My Way. You know, there's a song called My Way. I will do it my way. So nobody dare to confront him or go against him, you know. And everybody's scared of him in the meeting. Nobody dare to challenge him. For me, I just join. And my attitude is, I just speak based on my understanding and sincerity. Then I was so surprised. At first, I don't know. I just tell him how I feel. And surprisingly, he never scold me and never behave like the way he did to other staff. Then everybody after that came out. Oh, Tio, you dare to confront the boss inside the meeting like that? I say, cannot. Then they tell me the story. Then later on at the annual dinner, only I came to know his favorite song, My Way. He went out there and sing. And he sing very well. So it depends. But he actually respect me. Because when I speak, he know I mean it. And later on, he's supposed to send me to South Africa for one job. It's a very special job. And he purposely asked the secretary, look for me. Ask you to come. Then I say, yes, Mr. Tan, what can I do? He said, I have a special assignment for you. He said, I will pay you differently. I was saying, but South Africa. That time I two kids, form 3 and form 5. I said 2 years later maybe, but not now. And he respect, you know. Okay, okay. No problem, no problem. Then after that he goes to look for somebody else. So it depends on how you actually understand it and how you actually present your case. Understanding is very important. And people respect you for what you are. Because you are not the one that like try to please people and like they play with politics, office politics. They try to like angkat, they call angkat. For me, I don't believe in all those things. The reality is I make decisions based on my understanding. And my advice is very straightforward. It will benefit you, it will benefit the company. It's up to you to take it or not to take it. And he know I am like that one. That's why he respect me and he never treat me like the way he treat others. Very different. And he like me, really like me. When I send in the resignation letter, he hold on to the letter for 2 weeks, so don't know what to do. Then finally he tell one of his staff closest to him, said Theo is leaving. Then they realize I did a lot of job for him. Then finally he decided to call me. He said, it's a waste. Why you want to resign? You are so young. At the peak, I was that time 46 plus. I say simple line lah. He say my kid graduate already. Then he like cannot accept. Oh. What a waste and all those things. I say whatever it is, I say I have made my decision and I put in the letter. What I can do for you is I say instead of 3 months, I extend to 6 months. Oh, then he look happy. Say, okay, 6 months. You know what happened? He got to hire 6 engineers to take over what I do, including him, 7. Just imagine the scope that I do for him at that time. Because this is what understanding makes a difference. And I don't have much staff under me. You know. He only give me 1 or 2 staff. You know, and I did all these things for him. And for me, I can handle a lot of things. Major project, big project, and all the problematic ones he will call me in, help to resolve and all those things. And he knows. That's why I say different people, different. Different organization, different. But you make sure you have that understanding, and then you can do it your way. Okay, another 8 minutes. You better finish it all.
Thank you, Radio. Just need to, like you say, do it from the heart, do it from the conscience.
That one more then, important.
Yeah.
Be sincere. No need to like worry here, worry there, then try to please everybody. What for? Yeah. That is not really living life. That is trying to like survive through.
The other thing I want to ask Radio Radio always say that is only during the midst of life then we can actually cultivate,
right? Yeah. Life itself is your greatest teacher. Where you learn from life. What is life? The reality. Everything happens within life. So if you don't have the silent mind to observe and understand life, you cannot understand the reality. You cannot understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. You cannot understand human behavior. You cannot understand who are you, what are you, the form of mind. How you stir your mind, react to situation and develop all the negativity of mind state. How you become fearful. How you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. It is through your silent observation of what is. Then you realize how you become like that. When you see something you don't like to your views, opinion, and belief system, then you react to what you see. Then when you recall phobia or scars of memory, you develop fear. So all this comes from memory, you understand? Or? So it's through observation you understand. Oh, no wonder. Last time I have wrong view. I don't have the Dhamma understanding. That's why I react. That's why I have fear. I have worry. I have anxiety. A lot of things I cannot come to terms with. I want things my way. Then people blame lah. Why my children like that? Why my wife like that? Why my own brother and sister also cannot understand me? All this why is from delusion, lack of understanding. They are just the way they are, finish. No why. Why is you cannot get what you want, that's why you ask why. They are just the way they are, the world is the world. Condition like that, things be like that, it has to be like that. Cannot be otherwise. That's why this understanding not easy to go in on. After 1989, when I connect and develop the understanding, then only all this came back to me. My understanding stabilized. That's why after that, when I share and teach, I try to teach this and give you the answer so that you can apply it straight away. You can go and read all the book. Nobody can solve your problem. Like Sharon Hawan, he teach you all those ways, which most people cannot do one, not practical one. Understand? People scold you, pretend it's foreign language. How to pretend inside with tahan already, bottle up already, want to burst out, somewhat endure, yeah. Cannot.
Brother, actually what I want to ask is, because now I'm qualified for early retirement.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking, if I retire, then I don't have that portion where I learn in the midst of life, because during a career there's a lot of things to trigger.
Yes.
Then
you are right in that sense. But so many years already not enough. You will look as sweet. Sweet 40 already
gao liao. But still not perfect, still can trigger.
Not perfect, Man Yuan. It's not necessary in the office you learn.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. After you retire, different phase, you can ask Sui. Now all the classmate friend come and consult her now. Wow, Sui, you so lucky lah. Then they all got children's problem, relationship problem. Then all the entanglement of the first noble truth reality. She's consult her.
Second layer, but still learn.
And now learn direct, people consult her. And people can see the joy in her, the happiness in her. Because last time when she go through the corporate life, although she did very well, but like you go through the evaluating, she also went through. She also sometimes had to make that decision. And she told me the evaluation different. You got to talk to them. Then you must allow them to ask questions and all those things. And you must show them how you grade them. That's why now it's so different. My time, you don't know what grade they give you, also you don't know what they write inside there, so you don't know. During my time, it's so different.
You write and they look at it.
You
don't like it.
They challenge you.
They
challenge you. My son told me. They challenge him. How can you write like that? How can you comment like that? This is very, very unfair. So that is life. That's why you can learn more after that. After that, when you are retired, that is the first test. A lot of my classmates ask me, what you do? He said, after retirement, I said, damn boring. I said, why? He said, last time 9 to 5, I can go office. Yeah, I got a lot of things to do, office, secretary. Now, nobody, nobody call me. We are no more in that position, no more that power and all those things. Then they said, damn boring, don't know what to do. Every time I want to call friend, call friend, they are in the office. No? Hey, I got meeting, la, please. I know you retired. Don't call me. So all this type of thing. No? So you experience different thing. But for you, you eat the Dhamma, you don't have to worry. No? You know what? There are a lot of thing in life that you really must do one. That's why retire early. You get to live life. You get to do what you like to do in life.
Manuel, you not enough population, ka?
Yeah, that is a good one. That is a good one.
I got an attack again last month.
Oh yeah, so that is a sign that you should actually retire, because for you all, I think you got golden handshake, isn't it?
Only 9 days, ah.
Because nice
only the
are.
First year I entitled, then later they changed policy, so no more already.
You can ask the boss, you got chance VSS? Voluntary
VSS
separation
la.
Scheme.
I think early retirement got la. Can.
No problem, you will know yourself.
The palpitation.
That is a sign already.
But I felt grateful also, and because I thought I was treated very well. La.
They
brought the ambulance.
You called the ambulance?
They called the ambulance.
Who called?
At first, because there's a clinic in the office. La.
Oh, so they call. That's good.
I felt very privileged.
So that is the part of life that you never experienced before. Na, understand? So how you go into the ambulance? I also experienced once. I called the ambulance myself. I asked my wife to call. Then they come. Then I went. That's how we learn. That is what life is all about. Many things that we can learn, even after retirement. In fact, after retirement, I did better. And I actually end up very happy doing what I like to do. And all the time is to me. Then like I say, you break your 75 years old average lifespan into three phases. First phase, 25. First 25, I study la, and I graduate. Then second 25, career, work. Third 25, supposed to retire, but not sure. But third 25, even if I finish my second 25, I was only 50 years old. And I was still early for retirement. But I decide to finish before that. But the third 25, not guaranteed one. Not everybody live above 50. Then I want to spend more time with my family member, my parents, my children, and all that. Then I like to do the thing that I like to do. Means be my own, I decide my own life. And there are so much thing in life that I want to do. I want to experience. Then after I retire, the best thing is I make more money than I work out. So much more. Through investment, of course, not all the scam one. Not all the what, online. No. This one is proper understanding. So different people, different. That's why I make that decision, which is really good. Now I'm 70. I already retired 23 years old. 201 I retire. And that is what life is all about. And over this 20-year year, I share Dhamma, like you all know, 20th anniversary. After that, 201, 3 years later, Yun Chan came, then I started the sharing. I like Dhamma, I like to share. Then I like to share my understanding. Then I live life. That's why I travel a lot, I do a lot of things. Then I build up my family. Then we have good life, really good life. So retirement phase is the best. How old are you now? Good time. Now exactly. Now can opt. But your EPF enough for you to survive. No problem. So manya no problem. Okay, good. Wrap up. 5 minutes passed already.
So I find it very important. four-way effort.
Yeah.
The Eightfold Noble
yeah,
Path.
Yeah, Eightfold Noble yeah. Path. Yeah.
So that's the practical part.
Yes.
That's the.
It can help you. To understand life, to live life, and to transform your understanding of life. That's why you will come to know life itself is your greatest teacher.
Sadhu, brother.
Sadhu, thank you sadhu. Very much. Yeah, thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this type of sharing more useful because more practical. Dhamma in daily life. And also the living Dhamma applicable to life. And it can help many people to solve problems, to resolve issues, to turn things around. Means resolve life situation or issue amicably without causing suffering to anybody. The word is amicably resolve it. That one you need wisdom, you need Noble Eightfold Path understanding. But Noble Eightfold Path is all the power factor that has no negativity. Okay, now we share merits. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha Fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to the Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.